It's happening from the beginning.
Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim is daf Samachay, and we're holding on the second line, quoting the Mishnah. So, the Mishnah said that Yatztakat Rishona, and then Nichnasakat Shniya, and then Yatztakat Shniya, and then Nichnasa Shlishit. So we spoke about the way in which there was never a long halal for the Kata Shlishit, because there weren't so many people, but there needed to be that minimum, as we learned out from the Pasuk, of three kitot, 30 people. Says the Gemara, there's a braita that says that the Kat Shlishit, he is Nikri Kat Atzoni. There are a bunch of lazy bums who came in to be the last ones. How do you do something like that? But what do you mean, how do you do something like that? I thought that's the mitzvah, that we should have three kitot. V'holo sagi delavachi, is there any choice? I mean, we need to have three kitot. My heavy little mevatz, what are they supposed to do? If nobody comes to the last kat, we're not going to have the mitzvah. Answers the Gemara, filu hachi, even though that's the case, it's not your business to be the lazy one. However it works out, will work out. And, you know, in terms of statistics, someone will be lazy, but for God's sake, does it have to be you? Whoever was there is looked at as a lazy no good, because he should have done a better job of doing it more quickly. And this is basically the way Rebbe learns in a brayta, Ketanya Rebbe Omer, Yevshal olam b'lo bosam u'b'lo bursi. You know, the world needs perfume makers, and the world needs tanners. Now, tanners use the most awful ingredients and stink to high hell, and the perfumeries, of course, smell beautiful. Now, you'll say, so, you know, if you need both, does it really make a difference what you are? It sure does. Ashrei mishu umanuto basam, oilo mishu umanuto bursi. Happy is the man who becomes the perfume maker. Sad, bad boy is the one who ends up becoming the tanner. And the truth is, yev shalu lam belo zecharim uvelo nekevot. We need males and we need females. But ashrei mishu banav zecharim will be sitting in beisik petera, oilo lamishu banav nekevot, and is going to have to worry about having a girls who end up being a great burden for him in terms of worrying what happens to them and getting them married and making sure they're not seduced and seeing to it that they're supported and so on and so forth. Now, continues the Mishnah to say, Kimaseo b'chokach maseo b'shabbat. And the only difference is that on Shabbat, the Chachamim did not want them to wash out the Azara. So when they were doing the washing of the Azara, was Shalopet Son Chachamim. Ask the Gemara, who are these Chachamim that were against doing a washing of the Azara floor? Shalopet Son Man, Omrev Chissa, Shalopet Son Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds that cleaning that floor is a Melacha D'oraita, and therefore they couldn't do it on actual, even in the Beis HaMikdash, where we're Matir Shavuos. They couldn't do it because it's Issa D'oraisa. But according to Rabbanan, who hold that washing the floor is not considered to be an Issa D'oraita, it's a Shavuos. So I'm a Shavuos. Ve'en Shavuot ba'mikdash. There's no Issa Shavuos in the Mikdash, and therefore it would be mutter to do, and they would never have complained. Mayhi, what exactly is the Machloket Reb Eliezer and the Chachamim they were referring to? The Tanya. Somebody who milks an animal on Shabbos. And he goes ahead and he makes the milk be omeid. So he causes it to curdle. Or he's megabein, in order, he now churns it up in order to turn it into cheese or butter. The shear is kegro grot, and that's the shear of all of the achila malachas on Shabbos. How about if he's mechabein? If he sweeps the floor, or he's mirabeit, he pours water on a floor in order to prevent the dust from rising, or he's rodeh chalot dvaj, he takes down the honey from inside the hive on Shabbos. So in all of these cases, he would be on Shabbos chayv chatas in Bishurgen, and on Yom Tov, if he does it b'mezid, it belokeh et arba'im, and you get malchus. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. All of these cases of the Mechabed, and the Rabbeids, the Cholev, and so on and so forth. Sorry, not the Cholev, the case of the Rodeh, all of them would be only an Issur Rabbanan, and therefore, obviously, with the Melchiv Chatas, Eino, Ela Mishum Shvot. It's only because Rabbanan were Gezer, and because of that, we understand that in our Sugya, it would not have been Oymed as a Gezerah in the Azor, because Ein Shvot, Mimigdash. Now, there is a little bit of a problem with this piece, because the truth is that Machlokas is Nogea, a dirt floor. So Rebbe Eliezer holds that it's basically a psigration, or maybe he holds that you're chayev, even if it's not, but he holds that it's ashriya gumais, where you're making this floor smooth, is a tolda of baina. The problem is, as the Ri asks in Tosis, that in the Azora, the floor was covered with tiles. It was all basically stone. So how in the world could you be over on ashriya gumais? So that should have no application to our mission. And Tosis gives two possible truths. One is that since, according to Rebbe Eliezer, there's a standing gezera of doing any floor, even ones that are tiled, because of a gezera that you might do floors that are not tiled, whether it's sweeping or whether it's using water, it could still be a mashva gumon. So because of that, in order not to get confused in the Beis HaMikdash, if people see you doing it, they'll think that there's no problem. Therefore, they assert it in the Beis HaMikdash as well, because the truth is, as Tosfos points out, there are shvusim that we do assert in the Mikdash, where the basis of the shvus is that people may learn from it and come to Bnei Yisro. The other teretz that Tosfos suggests is that the area between the tiles always has dirt in it, so that they don't fit exactly to such an extent that there's not going to be any ashriyei gumais. So Memele, even in the Azora, perhaps, there was a problem of ashriyei gumais as well. Continues the Gemara. Ravashi, Omar Ravashi offers another suggestion. It could be that Shalom Baratzut Chachomim is actually, even the Chachomim here that are Chaylek and Rebbe Eliezer, Afilu Teim Shalom Baratzut, these Chachomim. And it would be going Alibad Rabbi Natan, Tetani Rabbi Natan, Omer Shvut Tzricha Hitiru. They were only Matir, a necessary Shvus in the Beis HaMikdash. Shvus Sheinat Tzricha. Lo Yitiru, washing the floor is something that is not really essential today. And the Mela, that was usher even in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the next thing we learned in the Mishnah was that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kos Hayam Lemalei Minat HaRofet, that they used to fill up one cup with the mixture of the dam that was on the floor. And that way, if they poured it on the Mizbeach, even if a cup had spilled, the Baalim would have been eating a kosher Pesach because some of that blood was mixed in the blood that was poured on the Mizbeach. Tani, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and the Braita Rabbi Yehuda explains that Koseyam Malei Midama Taharoved She'im Yishafer Damo Shel Achad Mihem Nimtza Zemach Shiro. Just in case the dam had poured out, so then this blood that he pours in, there'll be a little bit of that blood and it'll be mash. Amrul of Rabbi Yehuda. So they told Rabbi Yehuda, how can you say such a thing? Halalonit kapel bikli. I mean, if you're afraid it's spilled out, it's spilled out directly from the animal's neck, by Shkita, in which case it was never included in Kabbalah. And if it was never mekubal in a kli, and pours out directly to the floor, it's pusul anyway. So how in the world are you going to be makshir the carbon by pouring the tarovet? Yes, the Gemara, what do you mean it never was mekubal? How do you know it was never mekubal? Menayade, what are you asking? No, what they're asking is, they're saying, the dam that you want to be makshir, how are you so sure that it will be kosher? Shemalonit kabil b'kli, maybe it wasn't mekubal b'kli. And on that, Rabbi Yehuda answers, Omar lehem, afani lo amarti ala bishnit kabil b'kli. I'm only talking about dam that did not spill directly from the tzavar of the animal, but dam that was mekubal in a kli. Ask the Gemara, well, I mean, what makes Rabbi Yehuda think that the dam on the floor was nitkabel b'kli? Isn't it more reasonable to say that the dam on the floor just had spilled out and was missed in the Kabbalah? It was too fast. Mino yada. Well, because Rabbi Yehuda says, Kohanim zrizinein. After all, the Kohanim do their work well. And why should I be chayshish that they weren't mekabel the dam in a kli? Therefore, I say, miksi min hastam, the dam that I'm going to pour on the Mizbeach is dam that's kosher. Ask the Gemara, well, if they're doing such a fast, good job, am I mishtapech? How did the dam spill out of the kli? Can't have it both ways, can you? Yes, you can indeed, because agav zrizutayu de'avde mishtapech. The point is that when you do things very, very rapidly, which is what they're doing over here, a million karbonas, as we saw before, everything is being done on an assembly line. So there's no chashash that they weren't mekabel the dam, but it's definitely possible that from the rapid movement of the cups, that some of the dam spilled out. And because of that, that dam, I want to make sure, is here on the Mizbeach. Asks the Gemara, but what good is pouring dam from the floor onto the Mizbeach afterwards if there's definitely going to be dam hatamtzit mu'uravbo? There's going to be dam that was leaking out of the animal after the dam of the Shechita, because remember, only dam ha-nefesh is kosher for the Kabbalah. So we kabbal the dam ha-nefesh, and then the animal is hanging, and lots of dam that was there, the dam ha-ivorim, that keeps coming out, and that dam is certainly the rove of the dam that's here. I mean, 95%, even if something spilled, 95% of the blood is not kosher for the Mizbeah. Shouldn't it be batel barov? So what good is doing the zrika on the Mizbeah of dam that isn't kosher from the Mizbeah? Well, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, after all, is the one that is saying that they should do the zrika of the dam, right? And Rabbi Yehuda's shita is, it works out perfectly, because Rabbi Yehuda is following his own shita consistently, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, dam atamsit is dam ha'ayahu. Dam atamsit is perfectly valid. Dam, detanya dam atamsit ba'azara. Because as we saw, it says in the Braita that according to the Tanakhama, if someone eats dam atamsit and not dam ha'nefesh, he is not chayev karet. He's only, there's an iser lav. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, not true. Dam atamsit is pure dam and it's bihi karet, just like all other dam. Ask the Gemara, what does that have to do with our Mishnah? The Omar Rabbi Elazar, Moda Rabbi Yehuda Linin Kaparash and Mechaper. Even though Rabbi Yehuda holds you'd be chayav on eating it, that has nothing to do with the dam that's kosher for a kapora, because after all, Rabbi Yehuda himself says that this dam, even though you're chayav on it, is not going to be mechaper on the Mizbeach. Shinem ki adamu benefesh yichaper. It says beferish that only dam of the nefesh, dam shah nefesh yotzabo, which is that first dam that comes out under high pressure, while the heart is still pumping, immediately after Shechita, only that dam is mechaper. Dam she'ina nefesh yotzabo eino mechaper. He's made it that even though there's an iser koras in eating, that doesn't mean that it's kosher for kapora. So we still have the problem of why don't we say that the dam that spilled from a cup is going to be bottled in dam hatamsit, which although it's dam legabe achila, is not dam vis-a-vis kapora, and therefore should be bottled barov. You're right. Let me change that. It is Rabbi Yehuda who says this halacha. It's still Rabbi Yehuda's timing. But not the part about dam atamsit being kosher, because it isn't for kapora. It's Rabbi Yehuda's timing yomrein dam avatel dam. That's Rabbi Yehuda's famous shita, that you're never mavatel one dam with another dam, which he learns out from the Beis Hamikdash itself, the mixing of the dam. Dama Par and the Dama Sawyer and so on, that we see from there that it's never going to be bottled. Therefore, in the end, I'm going to get a couple of molecules of this dam onto the Mizbeach by taking the dam that was the dam on the floor, and that is sufficient. Tanya, Amar Lam Rabbi Yehuda L'Chachamim. In the Braita that says that Rabbi Yehuda said to Chachamim, according to you, that we do not use the dam on the floor of the Azara. How in the world do you explain the fact, which according to me is perfect, Lama Pokakina Tazara. It says that they used to plug up the drain that allowed all of the liquids in the Azara to flow out, which would have allowed the dam to flow out of the Azara. Why in the world did they seal up the drain in order for the Azara to fill up with dam? See, according to me, the obvious reason that they did that was to dip a cup into that dam, which would then have any dam that was nishbach and be makshered. But according to you, it's ridiculous. Why would they do such a thing? Omru lo. Just wait for passing planes and helicopters and so on. Omru lo. That's a whole different issue. The reason that they plugged up the Azara is in order for there to be a lot of blood on the floor, because it's a shevach ulivnei Aaron shelfu ad arkovotehem bedam. After all, Pesach is a very bloody holiday. And that's why we even say on the Agada, b'damayi chayi. So we have Dam Pesach, Dam Mila, and it's a very big shevach for the Kayanim to be walking ankle deep in Dam when they're bringing a Korban Pesach. It has nothing to do with using that Dam on the Mizbeah. Ask the Gemara, well, isn't there a problem of Chatzitza? If you have Dam, it's going to be a Chatzitza between the feet of the Kohanim and the floor, and the din is that if the Kohen isn't directly in touch with the floor, then the Avodah isn't kosher. So how can they do that? Answers the Gemara, because the Dam is still damp. It hasn't coagulated. That's the whole point. So it's a lachum. When something is liquid, it does not cause a chatzitza kiritanya. A dam, blood or ink, milk or honey, if they've dried yveshim, then they are a chatzitza. But if they're lachim, ain't chotzitzim. So as long as they're still liquidy, they are not going to be a chatzitza. Okay, says the Gemara, fine, won't be a chatzitza. But what about the fact that the Kohanim big day kahuna are going to get dirty? And Kohanim that are wearing dirty big day kahuna, the avodah is possible. V'ahakam mitvasei manayu. And it says in the Braita, v'tanya, hayu begadav mitushtashim. If the big day kahuna of the Kohen were dirty, v'avad, avodato psula. V'chiyitema, maybe you'll say, well, it's not a problem. They rolled up the cuffs of their begadim in order that they shouldn't get dirty. Vatanya, midobad, we learn out from the lashon of midobad, the reference to Big Day Kuna, that the begadim have to be kemidato, they have to fit perfectly. Shelo yechsar v'shelo yotir, they have to reach precisely to the ground. So how can we go ahead and pull up the cuffs? Either we're going to have begadim that are psulim because they're too short, or we're going to have begadim that are meluchlachim in the dam, and either way it's going to be possible. Answers the Gemara, we do this b'olachat evarim lekedesh, the lav avodai, that since we're doing only the walking up of the evarim to the kevesh of the mizbeah, then another kohen takes them from the kevesh up to mizbeah. That halachas evarim is not called an aveda, and therefore we can always lift up their begadim. At that point, they don't need b'tikuna to do things that are not an aveda, and therefore the clothes won't get dirty. So it's not a problem. But says the Gemara, how can you say that halachas evarim is not an aveda if it demands tikuna? The low, v'hamidaboy kuna avodai. Isn't anything that requires a Kohen, by definition, if it's possible with a Zar, isn't it an Aveda? D'tanya, v'ikriva Kohen atakola mizbecha. When it says v'ikriva Kohen atakola mizbecha, it's obviously not talking about the actual Hakrava, because that's mentioned later. So what is it referring to? It's referring to olachat evarim lakevesh, and you see that has to be done by a Kohen. So how do you explain that it's not an Aveda? You're right, says the Gemara. The place where they would be able to walk in the blood and have their clothes lifted is Boholachat Eitzim L'Maracha, would only be where we're bringing up wood onto the Mizbeah, but that's not an Aveda, and because of that, there are a Shevach to be walking in the Dam at that point. Okay, fine, but once you do that, your clothes will get dirty for the other things. I mean, it's all very necessary when you're doing Olachat Eitzim L'Maracha, but you don't drain the Dam in between when you're doing the other thing. So Boholachat Evarim L'Kevesh, or Boholachat Adam, which we just said requires the Begadim to be the correct length. So Echiasri, how do they walk without being allowed to pull up their clothes if they're going to make the clothes dirty? Their clothes are going to be filthy. Answers the Gemara, for those Avodot, where they're not able to pull up the clothes, Maskia Itztebe. They walk on a row of stones that is placed down on the Azara. And since the Azara itself is stone, so it's min bimino, and min bimino is not a chatzitza, so there's no problem. Those stones are basically sidewalks in the Beis HaMikdash. And those sidewalks are lifted above the level, the street level, so to speak, which is the level of the Azara, which is filled with blood. And then the Kohanim, when they finish doing Avedes, they roll up their cuffs and then step into the blood where nowhere near their clothing in order to do the bringing of the Eitzim. In the Mishnah, we continue. Ketza tolim umafshitim. So it says over there how it is that they would work on skinning and so on the karpa. And the last thing that they do is this koru, would tear it open, votsu it emurav. Take out the emurim, put it in a large pot, nitanamba megis, lahaktirab, in order to be makter, which sounds like the people who did this are the ones who are going to be makter. But that isn't the case. It requires a kohen to be makter. We've been talking about even zarim, who do all this work, the shechita taking the animal, skinning it, and so on. That was referring to the owners, the Israeli. So as the Gemara, Otto, who gufe havim makter? Was he, the Israel, going to be the one that would be makter, that it says he put it in the Megis L'Haktiran? Ema, what it means is they put it in the Megis L'Haktiran agabe amizbeach, meaning those who are roy to be makter on the mizbeach will then be able to easily take them from the Megis. And then the Mishnah concludes, Yatzta Kat Rishona. And the Braita says, when they were walking back, carrying their Psachim, Kol Echad V'Echad Noten Pischo Be'oro. He would take his Korban Pesach with all of its meat, wrap it in its own skin, Umafshir Le'achorav, and carry it as if he's a little boy running away from home, with a sack on his shoulder, which is, of course, similar to the way we walked out in the Midbar from Mitzrayim. Omar Avilish, the way to view this is the way that Tayot, the way that the Arabs walk around with their packages on their back, and then they spread it open for people to see and buy. Hadran Alok Tabit Mishkat, Neder. Okay, I think perhaps we should wait until tomorrow to do the Mishnah. So if you want to do the Mishnah today, you can always just download tomorrow's daf.